This week's parsha is one of the sources of the mitzvah of Mila, so I thought we'd spend some time this morning discussing different aspects of this mitzvah. The Gemara in Kiddushin Adav Chav Tes derives from different psukim that there are actually three different levels to the chiyuv. There are three different types of people who are obligated in this mitzvah of Mila. The first one who's chayiv in the mitzvah of Mila is the father. The father of a child has to give a bris Mila to his son. If the father is not around, if there is no father, so then Bezdin, it's lav dafka Bezdin, but the tzibur in general is mechuyev to give a bris mila to that child. And of course, if no one gives the bris mila to the child until he becomes a gadol, then the individual himself is chayev to give a bris mila. Not that he's chayev to do the mila on himself, but he has to see to it that he gets a bris mila. What's the din if a father doesn't know how to do a bris? So of course, if he can't do the bris himself, he has to get someone else. He gets a moel. But does that mean that the father, by getting a moel, is really relinquishing his mitzvah? He's giving up on his mitzvah and allowing someone else to do it? Namely, is the father basically saying that he can't fulfill his chiyuv? So the moel is really fulfilling the chiyuv of Bezdin. The moel is just like any other Jew. So if there is no father, then every Jew is mechuyev to see to it that this child gets a bris. So maybe by giving up his mitzvah, by allowing the moel to do the bris, the father is relinquishing his mitzvah, and he's saying the first level of chiyuv doesn't exist over here, so the chiyuv of Bezdin is going to devolve upon this, is going to apply to this situation. Or should we say no, that the father, by telling the moel to do the bris mila on his son, is really appointing the moel as a shliach, so when the moel does the bris, the father actually is fulfilling his mitzvah, meaning the maisa mila, the maisa of removing the orla that the moel is doing, is going to relate to the father, so the father fulfills the mitzvah through the moel. Basically, to put it differently, this question is, do we assume that the concept of shlichus applies to the mitzvah of mila, or should we say no? Should we assume that shlichus, just like shlichus, can apply to gittin and to kiddushin and to other mitzvahs, bedikas chametz, let's say, shchitas karban, a kohen can shecht on behalf of a Yisrael, and presumably he's the shlich of that Yisrael. So should we assume that shlichus applies to the mitzvah of mila as well? Or should we say, no, there is no concept of shlichus in the context of mila, and therefore, if the father can't do the bris mila himself, when he tells the moel to do it, what he's basically doing is he's giving up his mitzvah, and the moel is doing it b'toras bezdin. This is a very old machlokes rishon. The Ramah in Yeridei in Siman Reish Samach Dalet quotes from the Or Zeruah that if a father wants to be mechabed someone else to do the bris, let's say the father knows how to do the bris himself, but he wants to be mechabed someone anyway, a big talmid chacham, he wants to be mechabed someone else to do the bris, is he allowed to do that? So the Or Zeruah says it's usur for him to do that. If a father knows how to do the bris himself, let him do it himself. He should not give it to someone else to do. And the Ramah in the Dake Moshe there in Sifkot and Aleph disagrees. He says, I don't understand what the Or Zeruah is saying. Why should this be any different than any other mitzvah? Since shlucho shel adam kamoso, one can appoint a shliach to fulfill a mitzvah, to give a get, or to do a kiddushin. So the Ramah says, l'chor over here as well. The father is not relinquishing his mitzvah by being mechabed someone else. He's fulfilling the mitzvah through shlichus. The moel is the shliach of the father, so the father himself is fulfilling the mitzvah through the moel's action. Clearly, the Darkei Moshe assumes that Shlucha Shalom Kamoso applies in the context of Mila as well. What the Or Zeruah seems to be saying is that it doesn't apply in the context of Mila. Some have pointed out that the Mechaber in the Shulchan Aruch also seems to assume that Shlichus applies to Mila, because the Mechaber later on in Reish Samach Hei, in Sif Tes, in describing the different brachos that occur at the time of the Bris Mila and who exactly does what, Mechaber writes, Reish Samach Hei Sivtes, Avi HaBen Omed Al HaMoel Lehodio Shehu Shlucha. The Mechaber writes that the father of the child should stand by the Moel to tell him that he's his Shliach. And this is the common custom. What normally happens is that the Moel, before he does the bris, will turn to the father and ask him, do you appoint me as a Shliach? Well, they'll sometimes tell the father, say that you appoint me as a Shliach. Clearly, the minig is assuming that we feel there is a concept of shlichus in the context of mila, so that's exactly what should be done. The father should appoint the moel as a shliach, and then when the moel does the bris mila, that mitzvah relates back to the father. It's not that the father is giving up his mitzvah, chas v'shalom. It's that the moel is doing the mais, the mitzvah, and that mais is going to relate back to the father. So that would apply even if the father knows how to do the bris. the classical case is where the father doesn't know how to do the bris himself. That's the case in most circumstances. The father's a doctor, a surgeon, a pediatrician, whatever. So then maybe he'll know how to do it himself. If the father doesn't know, so then he tells the moel to do it. Is he relinquishing his mitzvah? Not necessarily. The Ramah, the Mechaber seem to say that the concept of shlichus will apply to mila. So the father's not giving up his mitzvah. He's fulfilling the mitzvah through the shlichus of the moel. According to the Arzarua, the father should not give up the mitzvah if he can do it himself, because apparently shlichus doesn't apply. Shlichus doesn't apply. And if the father doesn't know how to do the bris himself, so then he really is giving up the mitzvah. He's not fulfilling the mitzvah through the proxy of the moel, but rather the moel is doing the mitzvah, v'taras bezdin. This issue as to whether shlichus applies to milo or not is a famous... There's a famous discussion that revolves around the shach in Choshen Mishpat, of all places. The shach in Choshen Mishpat in Simon Shin Pei Beis writes that there is no concept of shlichus when it comes to mila. So he doesn't, I mean, there, the discussion appears in Hilchas Mila, as you mentioned. There's a whole Darkei Moshe about it, but the shach became famous for the source of this sheet. The shach holds that there is no shlichus when it comes to mila, and therefore, if the father can't do it himself, so he's mevatel his mitzvah. There's nothing he can do. Well, what's he supposed to do? I guess he could learn how to do the bris. But if the father can't do the bris himself, so then he's mevatel his mitzvah. He loses the mitzvah. So then the moel can do it. And it's taka interesting. Part of the discussion that the shach has is, let's say the father wants a particular moel, or he tells a particular moel that he can do it. So can someone else jump in and do the bris first? I don't recommend doing this, but I mean, technically speaking, it's not the moel's mitzvah. Once the father says he can't do the bris, and he tells the moel to do it, so the father's giving up on his mitzvah, the father doesn't have rights to that mitzvah. The moel doesn't have rights to that mitzvah. So if someone else jumps, l'chora, he's allowed to do that. He should be allowed to do that. Why should I assume that shlichus shouldn't apply to the context, to the concept of mila? So there's a famous ktos achoshen on that shach. The ktos in Simon Shin Pei Beis explains, based on a tosis rid in Kiddushin. The Tosis Rid writes that on mitzvah shebegufo we don't say shlichus. On mitzvah shebegufo, mitzvahs that a person has to do with their body, we don't say shlichus. We say shlichus by gittin and kiddushin, by other mitzvahs, but by mitzvah shebegufo, tefillin he talks about. Mitzvah shebegufo, mitzvahs that have to be done with a person's body, we're not going to say shlichus. So what does that mean? What's a Tosis Rid mean? Why is mila mitzvah shebegufo? The mila is a mitzvah shebegufo of the father? I understand why it's a mitzvah shebegufo of the child, but the mitzvah shebegufo of the father, what does that mean? So I thought what the Ktos meant, what the Tosis Rid feels, is that the concept of shlichus relates only a chalos, only the effect of the action, back to the mishaleach. How can we discuss this in different contexts? A person could ask a question, what does shlichus shel adam kemoso mean? The shliach goes and gives a get to the wife of the individual. So what is relating back to the mishaleach, to the husband, right? Is the chalos gerushin relating back? I certainly hope so. If the chalos gerushin is not relating back, what does the shliach do? But the question is, do we relate back to the mishaleach not only the chalos gerushin, but the maisa as well? Now we had a whole discussion if the mishaleach becomes a shota, right? Is the gerushin kosher minatoru or not? Am I focused on tour and the grandma, but so some cook peches days. Remember, right? If someone wakes you up at 3:00 in the morning, isn't that shlichus, right? Anyway, do we relate only the chalos back to the mishaleach, or do we relate the maisa as well? So I thought maybe that's exactly the point of contention here. Maybe what the Tosis Rid is saying is that by mitzvah shebegufo, we're not going to say shlichus, because the only thing that relates back to the mishaleach is the chalos. So if you have a chalos, you can relate that back. But what chalos is there in terms of a mitzvah? A mitzvah means that if you do the action, then you can fulfill the mitzvah. By a mitzvah shebegufo, the only thing that's relating, the only issue here is the maisa. So if you're talking about, let's say, bedikas chametz, so there is no such thing as a maisa bedika. I mean, you are checking, but what's the mitzvah? The mitzvah is that the house should be baduk, but you should make sure that there's no chametz there. So there's no maisa that has to relate back to the owner of the house. So maybe there, everyone would agree that you can have shlichus. But if the mitzvah is defined as what we call a mitzvah shebegufo, which perhaps means that the person has to do a maisa, so if the father has to do a maisa mila on the body of the child, so maybe we can't relate the maisa of them all back to the father. Because if shlucha shalom can also only relate a chalos back, so we can understand a chalos gerushin can relate back to the mishaleach, a chalos kiddushin can relate back. But by a mitzvah, there is no chalos to relate back. What you're talking about is if the mitzvah doesn't have a chalos, excuse me, if the mitzvah doesn't have a maaser related to it, like bedikas chametz, so then the totsa'ah, the result of that, can relate back to the mishaleach, can relate back to the balabayas. The balabayas is just mechuyev to get someone, right, to ensure that his home is badak, his home is checked out, there's no chametz there. So that's fine. The balabayas can appoint someone else to do it, because the same thing will happen if someone else checks for the chametz as if the balabayas checks for the chametz. But if you need a maisa to be done, if the mishaleach, if the bala mitzvah has to do a maisa mitzvah, so then it could be that Shlucho Shel Aron Kamoso doesn't relate that mitzvah back to the mishaleach, so it's not going to be considered his mitzvah. Maybe that's what the Arzarua thought. That's why he felt that the concept of shlichus doesn't relate to the mitzvah of mila. The Ramah apparently disagrees. The Ramah claims that shlichus can relate to the mitzvah of mila. Maybe he disagrees with this whole idea. He says that a maisa can relate back to the mishaleach. So even if the mitzvah focuses on a maisa, so what? Shlucho Shel Aron Kamoso can still work, because if the maisa can relate back to the mishaleach, so then it's as if the father did the maisa mila. So then there shouldn't be any problem. The Sefer Marach Or Zeruah, the son of the Or Zeruah, wrote the Marach Or Zeruah. So he disagrees with his father for a different reason. Again, he makes reference to what his father, the Or Zeruah, writes, that if a father knows how to do the bris mila, he shouldn't be mechabit someone else. Apparently, the Or Zeruah is assuming that shlichus doesn't work in the context of mila. But as opposed to the Ktzos, who says the reason why the Ramah would disagree is because he holds that shlucho Shel Aron Kamoso applies to the context of mila, from the Marach Or Zeruah, you get a totally different impression. He writes, Marach Or Zeruah writes, that he'll disagree with his father even if you claim that shlichus doesn't work by mila. You don't need shlichus here. The Marach Or Zeruah says that even if shlichus doesn't apply to the mitzvah of mila, nevertheless, it would still be mutter for the father to be mechabit someone else to do the mila of his child. How could that be? How could the Marach Or Zeruah disagree with his father, even if he admits that shlichus will not work to mila? If shlichus doesn't work for the mitzvah of mila, so how can a father be mechabit someone else to do a bris on his child? Isn't he relinquishing the mitzvah? He's being mevatel the mitzvah. How could that be? So the Marach Or Zeruah explains that you have to understand what the mitzvah of mila is all about. He says, if you assume that the mitzvah of mila is a din in the maisa mila, meaning removing the arla from the child, so then we can understand what the Or Zeruah writes, that the father shouldn't be mechavit someone else. He'll be giving up his mitzvah, he'll be mevatel the mitzvah. Because if you assume that shlichus doesn't apply to the mitzvah of mila, you assume mila is a mitzvah shebegufa, and shlichus Shel Aron Kamoso relates only a chalos back to the mishaleach, not the maisa back to the mishaleach, then we understand how shlichus is not going to help to relate the mitzvah of mila that the mohel does back to the father. That we can understand. But if you assume that the mitzvah of mila is not focused on the maisa, it's not a mitzvah that's fulfilled at one point in time, but rather what? If the mitzvah of mila is in the totsah, it's in the result, the fact that the child is nimo, the state of being that he's nimo, that he's gemal, as they say, that he is a nimo, so then we can understand how the father can be mechavit someone else, even if there's no concept of shlichus in the context of mila, so what? The father will still fulfill his mitzvah. Because the mitzvah of the father is to see to it that the child becomes nimo. So does it matter if the father does the maisa or someone else does the maisa? The maisa is not the key in the mitzvah. The key in the mitzvah is the state of being, the fact that the child is nimo. So then it doesn't matter who does the maisa mila. As long as the father sees to it that the maisa mila takes place and that the child becomes a nimo, then l'chara the father should be able to fulfill his mitzvah, even if there is no concept of shlichus in the context of mila. Yes?
So what do you say about the kiddushin record, the hierarchy of who should be doing the mitzvah? Why would it list the hierarchy of that it should be?
It's not a hierarchy of who should be doing the mitzvah. What the Gemara Kiddushin is saying is that if there is a father, then there is a mitzvah on the father. What is that mitzvah? The mitzvah might be to see to it that the bris takes place. If there is no father, so it's not like the child doesn't have to do the mitzvah, or no one has to ensure that the mitzvah gets done. No, then every other Yisrael, Bezdin or whatever, the leaders of the Kehillah have to make sure that the bris takes place. It's not that there's a hierarchy that the father comes first because he's the balamais, and there's a special pasuk that tells me that the father's mechuyev to see to it that the bris takes place on his son. All the Gemara Kedushin is saying is if the father is not there, so you and I shouldn't think that we have no obligation to make sure that that child gets a bris. We also have an obligation. That's only if the father's not there. The father is there. Well, if the father doesn't want to do it either, we also have the obligation to make sure that the child is nimel. But if the father is there and he's willing to take care of it, so then we don't have an obligation. That's his obligation, and he'll take care of it. The Marachar Zeruah adds that based on this yisod, that the mitzvah of mila is not focused on the maisa, but rather on the totsah, on the state of being that the child is a nimel. He explained a very interesting Gemara in Menachos. The Gemara in Daf Mem Gimel Amud Bei says that when David HaMelech was in the Beis HaMerchatz, he was all upset. He looked at himself. He didn't have any clothing on. He looked at himself and he says, "You know, I have no mitzvahs on me. I'm not wearing tzitzis. I'm not wearing tefillin." So he felt arum min haMitzvahs. But then when he saw his Mila and this Yashvadaito, then he was comforted because he says, "I have a mitzvah." He was comforted. That's the lashon of the Gemara. So the kasha is, how did the Mila comfort David? The mitzvah bris Mila was accomplished in David years ago. He's not doing a mitzvah now. So why was it in this Yashvadaita? B'chara, he still wasn't fulfilling any kind of mitzvah. So the Marachar Zeruah suggests that if you hold that the mitzvah of Mila is in the state of being, to be Gemal, to be a Nemo, then we can understand what David HaMelech was saying was that now he's happy because he actually is fulfilling the mitzvah. You fulfill the mitzvah every moment in time. So because he had a Mila, Hitaka was not Arum in a mitzvah. He wasn't naked for mitzvahs because he did have a mitzvah that he was taka fulfilling. It's not that he was saying, oh, his guf was a chefzah shel mitzvah way back when. It was a mitzvah done to his guf at that point in time. No. He was fulfilling the mitzvah right then and there. He didn't have a tzitzis on. He didn't have tefillin on. He didn't have other things. He wasn't doing other mitzvahs. But the fact is, the state of being gemal, that is a mitzvah in and of itself. So that's what David HaMelech perhaps was saying, that he was nisyash v'dayt, but he felt better that he had that mitzvah. Same.
But isn't that the same if
there
were mitzvahs on David and not his father?
No, the mitzvah on the father is to see to it that the son is nimo. It's actually interesting. There is a different discussion we're not going to talk about, but there's a discussion. The Mefarshim is the mitzvah of the father a mitzvah to do a bris mila to the son, or to see to it that the mitzvah of the son is going to be fulfilled? We know that if a father doesn't do a bris mila on the son, and no one else does the bris mila until he turns 13, so the person himself is mechuyav. So the question is, does that chiyuv apply only at the age of 13, only when he becomes a gadol? Or should we assume, no, that mitzvah apply throughout? It's just that he's a katan, so he can't really do it. So it's the mitzvah of the father to see to it that the son's mitzvah is going to be fulfilled. Not really a shliach, it's different. It's that's what the Torah was goes with. The Torah was goes with that the father has to see to it that the son's mitzvah should be fulfilled. So if that's the case, so then, yeah, David's father, Yishai, saw to it that David's mitzvah should be fulfilled. If the mitzvah of David is to be nimel, so then the father's mitzvah is to see to it that the child should be nimel. So they are related, but they're not exactly the same.
It
transferred in a sense. I don't know if it transferred, but both. In other words, the father fulfilled his mitzvah, and then David, after he became a gadol, he's fulfilling the mitzvah every moment by being nimel. It's a strange idea that you can fulfill a mitzvah without doing anything. The father does the mitzvah to you, then you can fulfill it as long as you're nimel. You actually fulfill the mitzvah every moment that you're nimel. Someone has suggested that this can explain a very interesting sheet of the Ravid as well. At the beginning of Hilchas Mila, there's a machlokas, the Ravid and the Ravid, about when the chiyuv kares of Mila applies. We know that Mila is special. It's a special mitzvah. One of two mitzvahs that if a person doesn't fulfill this mitzvah, he's mevatel the mitzvah, he's chayav kares. What's the other mitzvah say that if you're mevatel, you're chayav kares? I'm sorry? Carbon Pesach.
Pesach.
Okay. Carbon Pesach. Carbon Pesach and Mila are the two mitzvahs that if you don't fulfill, you're chayav kares. There are many yisurim that if you don't, that if you violate, you'll be chayav kares. But only Carbon Pesach and Mila are the two mitzvahs say that if you don't fulfill, you're chayav kares. So the question is, when are you chayav kares? So by Carbon Pesach, it's obvious. If you don't bring the Carbon Pesach in the right time, you're chayav kares, okay? But what happens in the case of Mila? So first of all, the chiyuv kares doesn't apply to the father, it doesn't apply to Bez, it only applies to the individual himself. So there isn't going to be a chiyuv kares son of Katan, but when he becomes a gadol, he's mechuyev in the bris mila, so then we can imagine that the chiyuv kares should apply. But when does it actually apply? So says the Rambam in Halacha Beis, Perak Aleph Halacha Beis of Hilchas Mila, V'chol yom v'yom sh'yavar lo v'sh'yagdav lo yom ales atzmo, harei u'mavat lo mitzaseh, avol eino chayev kores at sh'yomos v'hu orel b'mezi. The Rambam writes that even though a person is a vatal mitzvah, say every day that he doesn't do a bris milah on himself once he becomes a gadol, but he doesn't have the chiyuv kares until he dies. So that in and of itself is a strange lashon. He's chiyuv kares when he dies, but he's dead. It's a strange idea. Okay, fine. But that's what the Rambam says. So the Rava disagrees. He says, "Ein v'zeh tavlin v'chimishum asura asofik pochen osom min hashamayim." Just because we don't know, it's a hasura asofik. I mean, we don't know if he's going to do the bris milah at some point in time, so he's going to be parted from the chiyuv kares. V'chol yom omed be'issar kares. Says the Rava, he's omed be'issar kares kol yom v'yom. The same way the Rambam writes that he's mevatel mitzvah say kol yom v'yom. The Ravid says the chi of kares is kol yom v'yom. The Rambam wanted to say that the chi of kares is only at shiyomo, it's only when the person dies. Then he sort of dies the chi of kares. We attribute the misa to the fact that he didn't do the bris. Then I guess at a certain point in time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loses patience with the person and he gives him that chi of kares. The Ravid says, no, he has a chi of kares b'chol yom v'yom, each and every day. L'chara, the Ravid is a little bit strange. Why should he have a chi of kares each and every day? What kind of a chi of kares is there? If the mitzvah of mila is to do the bris mila at some point in time, to do the maisa mila, to remove the arla from the gid at some point in time during a person's life, so why should he have a chi of kares now? The next moment he could do the bris mila. So why should he have a chi of kares? Why does the Ravid say that kol yom v'yom he has a chi of kares? L'chara, the Rambam is right. It's a strange concept according to the Rambam, but it makes more sense. There's a mitzvah to do the bris milah, to do the ma'aseh milah at some point in time during a person's life. So as long as he does that mitzvah, why should he have a chi of kares? So how can you tell me that he has a chi of kares at this moment, but the next moment he might do the bris milah, he might do the ma'aseh milah, and then the chi of kares should just disappear? So what does the Ravid mean? So someone has suggested that the Ravid assumes, like the Marach or Zeruah, that the mitzvah of milah is not in the ma'aseh. It's to be nimo. The mitzvah is to be gemal. It's the state of being that the person is nimo. And we can understand that kol yom v'yom, if a person doesn't do the bris on himself, so this moment he's in RL, this moment he's not gemal, so then he is chayav kares. He has a chayav kares each and every day. In fact, there are some achronim that want to suggest that according to this rabbi, it's not really kol yom v'yom. It's interesting, the lashon of the rabbi is kol yom. The charet should be kol rega v'rega, every moment, not just the yom. If the rabbi feels that the halacha doesn't recognize every moment in time as a different chayav, yomim, we focus on days. It's a strange idea. I would assume that if you follow the Ravid, then each and every moment the attacker should be a chi of kares, a new chi of kares. Shreklach to even think about it. But that could be that according to the Ravid, if you assume that the mitzvah of mila is not in the maisa, but rather in the totzah, in the state of being that the person is gemal, so then we can understand why there would be a chi of kares b'chol yom v'yom. A woman is not mechuyeves in the milah of her child. This is also part of the that Gemara in Kiddushin of Chavtes. The pasuk in Parashas Vayera says, "Kasher tziva oso elokim." Avram Avinu was mal yitzchak. Kasher tziva oso elokim. Oso velo osa. Oso velo osa. So the woman is not mechuyeves in the milah of her son. It's only a chiyev of the father. But let's say there is no father. So is the woman not mechuyeves? Does the woman not have that first level of chiyev, meaning a level of chiyev as a parent? But the woman is no worse than Kol Yisrael, than Bezdin? Or should we assume a woman doesn't have a chiyuv in bris mila b'chlal? Should we assume that she has no obligation to see to it that this individual is gemalt, or undergoes that bris mila? Or should we say, no, she doesn't have a chiyuv as a parent, but she's logar from any other Yisrael? So this is a shiloh that's quite relevant to maisa. Let's say a woman is a pediatrician. And she sees that the child is not nimo. Does she have an obligation to try to impress upon the parents to get the parents to do a bris on this child? So if she's obligated b'toras bezden, she does have such a chiyuv. Maybe kasher tzivos so elokim tells her that she's not obligated as a parent, but she's like any other Yisrael. So in a situation which you see that someone is not doing a bris on their child, does the woman have an obligation to see to it that the bris should be done? Why not? Now, of course, even if she doesn't have an obligation, she could tell her husband. At that point, the husband, who's a man, would have an obligation, though the husband would really have no way of talking to the parents. You see, she has that unique doctor-patient relationship that she could talk to those people. So does she have a chiyuv on that? This is a discussion in the postkim. It's Machlokes Rishonim, actually. Interesting Machlokes Rishonim. Okay, this is as far as the chiyuv, the obligation of Mila. Yes?
Just in terms of when we say it's on Beis Din,
yeah.
So that doesn't give you the name. Yeah, just in America, but what does that mean?
It means that all of Klal Yisrael is mechuyev to see to it that the bris takes place. So every Yisrael, any Jew, if you have an inroad into that family, then you should impress upon that family to do it. Or if a father, Nebuch, if a father, Chalila, passes away, and or both parents are not there, so it's the obligation on the grandparent or on someone else to see to it that the bris takes place, that this child actually does get a bris. Yes?
Let me see from Tzipora that...
Oh, that's a good question. Right, we're going to talk about that later. It could be even if a woman is not mechuyeves, if she's not obligated in the midst of Mila, she might be ksheira to do the bris Mila. Interesting idea. We normally assume that someone who's not a bar chiyuva in a particular mitzvah is not a bar hachi to do the ma'aseh either. But it could be that bris is different. It's not so clear. It could be a machlokas. We'll see later, mitzvah. We'll get to that. Before we get to that, let's just talk about the mitzvah of Mila. You know, itself. What are the ingredients of Mila? You talk about Mila, right? So everyone knows that, that removing the Orla is the basic mitzvah. That's the... Let me look at this. Is the basic mitzvah of Mila, but actually the Mishnah in Shabbos in Perek Reb Elezer de Mila. Reb Elezer de Mila is the 19th Perek of Shabbos, which has many of the halachas of Mila found in it. The Perek starts off by talking about Machshirei Mila on Shabbos. Basically, the parak is talking about which malachos, which aspects of the bris milah can be done on Shabbos and which can't be. So in the middle of that context, the Gemara takes the liberty to quote all the brises, all of the different halachas about milah, even though the parak really is not focused on the mitzvah of milah per se. It's focused on the intersection between milah and Shabbos, which parts of milah are docha Shabbos, which parts of milah are not docha Shabbos, but that's the lead-in that the Gemara uses to discuss different aspects of milah. So on the Kuf Lame Gimel Amad Aleph, the Mishnah there talks about the Tzarche Mila that one can do on Shabbos. It says, Osin called Tzarche Mila on Shabbos, Molin Uporin Umotzitzin. The Mishnah delineates three parts of the Bris Mila. So Molin, we know what that means. That means removing the Orla, removing the Or HaOrla, the foreskin from the Git, from the male Aver. But what does this Porin mean? Porin sounds like Priya is a new concept. So the Gemara in Yevamos and Afayin Aleph actually points out that Priya is not found in the Torah. It's probably Halach L'Moshe Messina. That's what the Rishonim there in Yevamos write. It's not found. Avraham Avinu was not mitzvah in the mitzvah of Priya. It was a later development. It's a little bit unclear when it started, but Tosis there in Yevamos and Afayin Aleph says that it's probably Halach L'Moshe Messina. What is Priya? What is Priya? Once you take off the Orla, what's left? So that's what Rashi writes on Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. Uporin es ha'or ha'machaser rosh ha'gid. Porin means you peel off the or, the skin that's covering the gid. What that means is that aside from the orla that's on top of the gid, the main skin that's on top of the gid, on top of the aver, there's an underskin. There's like a thin membrane that covers the gid itself. That even after the orla is removed, there's still an or ha'priya. There's this like thin membrane that's on top of the gid. And what Priya means is there's an obligation to remove that as well, to peel that back. That's what Rashi writes over here on the Kuf Lamed Gimel. This is not just the Hibbim Mitzvah, it's not just the Lechatchila. In fact, the Mishnah later on in Shabbos, on Kuf Lamed Zayin, last Mishnah in the Perek, Kuf Lamed Zayin obeys, the Mishnah says, Mol v'lo paras ha-mila ki'ilu lo mol. If you do the Mila without the Priya, it's like you didn't do the Mila. Meaning it's clearly ma'akev in the Mitzvah. We call Mila, Mila. We call Bris Mila, Mila. But the reality is it's Mila plus Priya. What's interesting, though, is that Rashi on Kuf Lamed Zayin Beis defines Priya a little bit differently. Whereas on Kuf Lamed Gimel, Rashi says that Pora means Porin or Hamachasa Rosh Hagid, that you have to peel away, cut and peel away the thin membrane that covers the Gid even after the Orla is removed. Rashi on Daf Kuf Lamed Zayin Beis right, simply, para means gila, meaning mol velo para samila. If someone was mol, but he wasn't megale the gid, meaning if he didn't reveal the atara, the crown, the top of the aver, so then he was not yotze the mitzvah of mila. It's interesting because Rashi on Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel says that priya means that you peel away the skin, but Rashi here on Kuf Lamed Zayin says that it simply involves uncovering the top of the gid. What's the difference? The difference is, let's say you can uncover the top of the gate without peeling it away, without doing that peeling action. So that's a whole discussion. L'maisa b'zman hazeh. Many Moalim have the custom of doing what they call mila upriya b'vasachas. What they do is they'll take a probe, right? As they're saying a bunch of psukim over there, and everyone is sort of, you know, talking a little bit, meeting the people that they haven't seen in a while, and they're getting closer and closer. So the Moal takes a probe, not a sharp probe, but like a dull probe, and he'll put it between the or hapriya, between this thin membrane and the gid, and he'll sort of like move it around to cut all the appendages between the or hapriya and the gid, and then he holds the or hapriya with the orla together. He'll pull it over the gid, he'll hold it together, and then he cuts them both b'vasachas. So he's not actually being poreya the or hapriya. He's not peeling back the or hapriya. What he's really doing is he's doing milo priya b'vasachas. He's cutting them both. So is that kosher, or should we say no? Maybe there are two different aspects of mila. Maybe you first have to cut the orla, and then you have to be poreya. You have to peel back the priya. Maybe they're two different things. So some achronim pointed to the lashon of the Rambam. The Rambam in Perek Beis, Halacha Beis of Mila, says, Molin ve'achar kach porin. The Rambam describes how to do mila. So he says that first they do the mila, and then they do the priya. And what is priya? So the Rambam says that the poreya, the or, the krum, shal gabe hagid, bitziporen, they peel it back with their fingernail. That's what priya is. So someone has suggested that if the Rambam distinguishes between mila and priya, it seems as though you have to do them separately. You shouldn't do them b'vasachas. But others claim, though, that the Rambam was just describing the mitzius. The easy way to describe the mitzius of the gid is to describe it in two stages. So he says, look, you have to do two things. You got to take off the top or the orla, but then you also have to peel back the bottom of it. That doesn't mean that you have to do the peeling procedure. Some even ask, the lashon of the Rambam is that you have to peel it back with the fingernail. So is the Rambam saying that part of this halacha l'moshe v'sin is that you have to use a fingernail? How do you use a fingernail? You can't use a probe? So some say yes. You have to use a fingernail. There's a tshuva of the Binyan Siyam. He assumes that the priya has to involve the fingernail. But most poskim say, come on, to go that far, it's hard to believe. So if the fingernail is lav dafka, the whole thing is lav dafka. If you want to do milu priya vasachas, you can do that as well. That's what most poskim assume. And the reason why the Moalim like to do this is because, first of all, it aids in the healing process. It's easier for it to heal. Apparently, if you peel off the or hapriya, it would be harder for it to heal somehow. And secondly, it also prevents the or hapriya from covering the gid later. if the or hapriya then covers the gid and it somehow adheres to the gid, so then you have to peel it back again. You have to fix it. So that's a big problem. We don't want to have to do that later. So it's certainly much better if you'll cut the or hapriya together with the orlas, and there's no problem later that the or hapriya that you've peeled back is going to go back on. So it certainly solves that problem. Of course, I guess if you know what you're doing, so then you can peel back the or hapriya and somehow attach it. Make sure it stays, you attach it with some kind of bandage, make sure it stays below the atara, and then over time it'll adhere to the area below the atara, and then there won't be a problem. But it's certainly easy if the or hapriya is cut, then there won't be any problem. That's why the Moalim like to do milu priya vasachas. Most posts can assume that that's fine, there's no problem. The Chazon Ish and others, they assume that it doesn't have to be done with tziporin, and in fact, they could do milu priya vasachas. Some actually point out that even when milu priya vasachas is done, the fact is the or hapriya is not cut completely. What the Moalim do is they leave a little bit of the or hapriya not cut, and then they peel back just a little bit. So they can be yotze with that little bit as well. So that will constitute a priya. If you assume that you have to peel back a little bit, you have to peel back the whole thing. You peel back what's remaining. But the Mishnah on Kuf Lamed Gimel said, aside from Moalin Uporin, also motzitzin, mitzitza. What is mitzitza? Mitzitza means sucking the blood out of the makom hamila. Sucking the blood out to clean the wound. The Gemara in Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis seems to say that the purpose of the mitzitza is to prevent sakana. It's a medical issue, refuah. But the Achronim have a debate. The Poskim have a very famous debate as to whether mitzitza is exclusively letzarech refuah. It's exclusively a medical procedure, or is it part of the mitzvah of mila as well? The Ran in Shabbos there on Kuf Lamed Gimel has a suffix about this. Should we assume that mitzitza is part of the mitzvah of mila? or should we assume it's exclusively for medical purposes? The Ketzos HaChoshen, the same Ketzos that we quoted before about Shlichas, the Ketzos in Simen Shin Pei Beis, Sifkan Beis, assumes that it's exclusively Letzorech Refua, and he says, therefore, even according to those who assume that there's no concept of Shlichas in Mila, and therefore a father should not be Mechabed anyone else to do the Bris Mila, he should do it himself, but to do the Metzitza, he could be Mechabed someone else, because it's not part of the Mitzvah of Mila, it's just to prevent Sakana. So that, the Ketzos claims, he can be Mechabed someone else. Clearly the Ketzos is assuming it's only Mishum Sakana. So therefore, if it's not part of the mitzvah, there's no problem with the father being mechabit someone else to do that. But according to the suffix in the Rav, it's not so clear that that's true. If mitzitza would be part of the mitzvah of Mila, if it's part of the mitzvah of Mila, it's not a halacha moshmi sinai, it's not in the psukim, but I guess apparently since Chazal instituted mitzitza to be done in conjunction with Mila in order to prevent the sakana, so now it became part of the mitzvah of Mila. That is the minhag. So it became part of the mitzvah of Mila. So then maybe the father should not be mechabit someone else if you assume that you need shlichas in the context of Mila. What's the nafkamina whether we assume that it is part of the mitzvah Mila, not part of the mitzvah Mila, aside from this issue of a father being mechabit someone else? What's the famous nafkamina? Mitzitza be'peh. Right? The question of whether you need mitzitza be'peh, the chora, that's dependent on this issue. If you assume that mitzitza is part of the mitzvah Mila, and it was always done mikadmas dinah throughout the generations, it was always done be'peh, so maybe we can't change with that minute. We can't do mitzitza b'kli, as they say. Can't do mitzitza b'kli. The poskim talk about mitzitza b'kli in different contexts. The mitzitza b'kli that we're familiar with is a little bit different. The original discussion in the poskim was, can you do mitzitza with like a gauze pair, with a spog, with a sponge? Not a sponge that you use to wash dishes, but you know, like a gauze, I think that's what they were talking about. Can you do mitzitza to sort of like draw out the blood a little bit with the gauze? So some say it's not going to work because the whole purpose of the mitzitza is to suck the blood from the far areas, not necessarily from that, not just to take away the blood that's right there on the surface, but to suck out the blood. Somehow they thought that would take the germs. I guess if there were germs on the utensils that the mother was using or on his hands or whatever, if you suck away the blood, so then there's no blood with those germs remaining, and that's what would prevent the sakana. So to use a svog, to use a gauze, I'm not sure that you would accomplish the same thing, but that's what the poskim discuss. But Bisman Azed is a different discussion that they have, and that is to use a tube. They use a tube, they put the tube to the Makam Hamila, and they suck. Much the same way that you would suck Mitzitza Bepeh, they suck through the tube. So Mitzat Sakona, Lachor, you accomplish exactly the same thing. You are sucking the blood from the Makam Hamila, from the whatever place you have to suck that blood, from far away from that Makam, to suck the blood out, to make sure that any germs are being taken away. Or you do that with a tube just as well. Some might even suggest you do it better with a tube because it's a more constricted area. But if you assume that mitzitz is part of the mitzvah of Mila, so it could be that it has to be done the way the Chazal instituted that it should be done. It shouldn't be done b'kli. So there's a famous tshuva of the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer was asked by one of his Talmidim whether you can do mitzitz b'kli. And the Chasam Sofer says he thinks it's mutter. He writes that mitzitz is only to prevent sakana. So therefore, even Bakli should be good enough. So the Chor, if you just stop there with the Chasam Sofer seems to side with the Ketzos HaChoshen, there's really nothing to talk about. You can do Mitzitza Bakli, but that's not where it stopped, that's where it started. There's a whole discussion, Talmidim of the Chasam Sofer and others have different shuvas back and forth. Some wanted to suggest that the Chasam Sofer was only Megil Leis Tzorech in that particular situation. It was a complicated circumstance with a moil that they couldn't remove. The moil was the moil in that particular community, and they were concerned about something. They wanted him to use a kli. It would have been easier just to remove that moil and use someone else, but they couldn't get rid of him. So they asked the Chasam Sofer, "Is mitzitza b'kli okay?" So he was willing to be mekel in that case. But would the Chasam Sofer be mekel in all circumstances? Someone suggests no. Chas v'shalom, he wouldn't be mekel in all circumstances. Some point to the fact that this Chasam Sofer is true doesn't appear in Shuvah's Chasam Sofer. It's a Shuvah that one of his talmidim quotes. So, first of all, some claim, they're not sure if the Chasam Sofer wrote it, maybe he was just quoted, and maybe something was attributed to the Chasam Sofer. There's a lot of controversy involved in this. This controversy did not, you know, surface only a couple of years ago. This existed 150 years ago also. This is an old, old shaila, focused on this Chasam Sofer and some other mefarshim. So, of course, you know, Bizman Azeh, there's an even greater reason for why we would want to do Mitzitza B'Kli, and that is with the advent of AIDS and other communicable diseases that we're very concerned about, So there's a chashash, there's a concern that the moel shouldn't get anything from the child shouldn't get anything from the moel. The issue of herpes of the mouth that is transmitted, so that's not a new thing that probably existed in all generations. It's come to the fore because there are certain celebrated cases that happened recently. But herpes, that's an old issue, that's an old problem. That there was a concern that either the moel would transmit his oral herpes to the child, or the child would transmit some kind of a thing to the moel. I'm not exactly sure how you can have oral herpes on the makom hamil that can be transmitted to the moel, but there's some concern that there's some disease that can be transmitted to the moel. So this is an old child. I'm not going to pass it in the shayla. I mean, there's nothing to say. It's a big controversy, as we well know. A person has to speak to their local rav to paskin for them exactly what should be done. I think the RCA came out with some kind of a tzav, some kind of an edict that it's better for the moel to do matzitza b'kli. If we're going to start to pick and choose and say this moel can do matzitza b'kli and the other one can do matzitza b'kli, it's going to be difficult to have a standardized procedure. They say we should do matzitza b'kli. There's what's so mechan and there are so many concerns that maybe we should just do matzitza b'kli and rely on those poskim who assume that you can do something. Okay. Who is kosher to do a bris milah? So the first thing is that he has to be a Yisrael. That's point number one. That's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Daf Chavav calls different psukim to be memayit akum from bris milah. The question that the poskim discuss, the Mechaber and the Ramah have a machlokis in Siman Reish Samach Sif Aleph. What happens if b'di'evet the goy did the bris milah? Let's say the child had a bris milah in the hospital, and it was a goyish pediatrician. So what do we do now? The child gets older, he becomes observant, and now he wants to know, my bris milah was done in the hospital, there was a circumcision in the hospital by the goy, by the non-Jew, so is there anything to do? And so the Mechaber writes that there's nothing to do, there's no need to have what he calls hatofas dam bris. Hatofas dam bris. You don't have to take any dam from the makom hamila. The Ramah quotes the Yesh Omrim though there in Reish Samach Dalet Sif Aleph. The Ramah says that there's the Yesh Omrim who claims that you chayiv to do hatofas dam bris. V'chein ikah says the Ramah. So what's the machlokes to Mechaber and Ramah? Why should Mechaber say that you don't need hatofas dam bris? So the Taz, there in Sivkot and Gimel, the Taz writes, we don't find in the Torah any mokar that you need mila lishma. You need lishma by mila, you need lishma by the writing of the get, the writing of the Sefer Torah, but mila have to be lishma. Vushtet, where does it say this? So if mila doesn't have to be lishma, why should a non-Jew be possible to do a bris mila? As long as the action is done, it's done. I can't say the goy is going to be mekayim a mitzvah by doing the bris, but if it's done, it's done. So, okay, Naniyah, the child didn't get a mitzvah, the child, right, the child never gets a mitzvah when the meal is done to him. He's the chefza shel mitzvah. So the guy, the non-Jew, the non-Jewish doctor, didn't get a mitzvah, but the bris milah was done. That's what the Taz writes. But the Pesach Tshuva there quotes from the Shagas Ayah, famous Shagas Ayah. Shagas Ayah assumes, like the Mechaber, Shagas Ayah was an Ashkenazi, but nevertheless he goes with the Mechaber, he assumes as a davar pasha like the Mechaber that you don't need hatavas dam bris. Not that you don't need hatavas dam bris. Even hatavas dam bris wouldn't work. The Shagas Ayah says, what's it going to accomplish? The arla has been removed. So what's hatavas dam bris going to do? I'm taking out more blood from that makom. So what? It's like cutting your finger. What's the purpose of hatavas dam bris over here? Not that it's not necessary because lamatzinu mila lishma batora. But what do you accomplish by doing hatavas dam bris? Taking out more blood from the makom hamila is not going to remove the orla from that makom again. It's already removed. So what did it talk about? So the Shagas Aryeh points us to really the question against the Ramah. The Ramah says Yitaka have to do atavas dam bris. There's the Yesham. So what's the Yesham say? What does atavas dam bris accomplish? The Shagas Aryeh is saying higufa. That's why the Mechaber says you don't need atavas dam bris. You won't accomplish anything by doing it anyway. But the Ramah says that you need hatavas dam bris. So what does that mean? So some of the Achronim suggest maybe what the Ramah means is that every meal is really composed of four parts, not three. Well, two definitely, maybe mitzitz as well. It's definitely composed of meal and priya, removing the arla and the arha priya. Might also involve mitzitz as well. But in addition to these three aspects, there's hatavas dam bris as well. every mitzvah, every mila, some achronim suggest, includes hatavas nabris mamela, right? It's that there is hatavas nabris. You take out blood with a mila and a priya. But let's say your mila, let's say the mila and the priya are done. Will you accomplish anything by doing hatavas nabris? Of course, because you're not going to accomplish anything. You can't bring back the mila and the priya. But the mitzvah of Atamas Nabris, which also is another aspect of Bris Mila, which they derive from different psukim, there are different gemaras and psukim that they point to. So if Atamas Nabris is a separate part of the mitzvah of Mila, at least that part of the mitzvah of Mila you'll salvage by doing Atamas Nabris, even if the Mila and the Priya have been done already. So that could be what the Ramah, what the Yesharim and the Ramah holds. The Shagasai disagrees. He says there is no independent mitzvah of Atamas Nabris. There's Mila and Priya, maybe Mitzitza, but not Atavas Dambris. The Yesharim and the Ramah will assume that there's this extra idea of Atavas Dambris. And at least that concept you can fulfill by doing Atavas Dambris after the Mila and the Priya have been done already. You're not going to be able to resurrect the Mila and the Priya, but at least the Atavas Dambris you can still fulfill. Yes?
It just seems strange. It seems to be assuming that if you do the mitzvah is Mila. There's no... It's an aspect of the mitzvah mila. If you do a quarter of a mitzvah in general, we don't say like that's any part. You're not kind of the mitzvah.
What is the mitzvah of hatavas nabris? What is involved in that? It means taking blood from the makom hamila. That's part of the idea. Right? That is the idea. It's part of the idea of mila. Mila involves removing the arla, removing the or hapriya, and taking down from that makom. So normally, by taking away any or, you're gonna produce blood. But even if you don't, I'll give you an example. The Gemara talks about hatavas nabris in a different context. The Gemara says, what happens if someone is nolad mohol? Nolad mohol, they don't have an arla. So the Gemara talks about that maybe you should do hatavas nabris there. I think we passed it. You would do hatavas nabris in such a case. So what's the purpose of the hatavas nabris if there's no arla? So what are we doing? So there is a discussion in the Gemara. Is the reason why we're doing a bris on this individual because there's a suffix arla kvusha? We're afraid there is an arla. It's just, you know, pushed in, so you can't see it, so we're actually removing something. But the Parshat Pshat is, it's not because of Safek Arla Kvusha, it's not because there really is an Arla, you just can't see it, but rather, there's a separate obligation of Hatavas Dambris, even if you can't fulfill Mila and Priya, at least do Hatavas Dambris. Yeah, that's another aspect of the mitzvah of Bris Mila. Yes?
Does he have to do Mitzitza with the Hatavas Dambris?
I don't think so, because the sakana really is. I mean, hatavas nabris is a very simple procedure. It doesn't really involve.
Yeah, if you say that you do matzitsa again, then even if you don't go like the Ramah, then maybe if you do hatavas adam in order to do the matzitsa.
I hear what you're saying, but maybe
everybody agrees matzitsa is part of the.
Well, not everyone agrees matzitsa is part of the mila. According to those achronim who assume that it's only mishum sakana, but even if you assume it's part of the mitzvah of mila, maybe the idea is that the chachamim made it part of the mitzvah of mila. Once it was instituted to prevent sakana. So,
right.
To prevent sakana, you only have to prevent sakana if there's a real mila priya. If all you're doing is hatavas dambris, so there's not much happening. Hatavas dambris, according to everyone, is just a scratch, just a little bit of blood.
But if the whole point of it is to have some aspect of the mila that you can be closer and do over, right. So then you can do that part, you can do the tzitzo.
I guess the idea is that these Rishonim assume Atavas Dambris, that Mitzitza is connected to Mila and Priya, not to Hatavas Dambris. If you're not doing Mila and Priya, then you're not going to do Mitzitza either. The truth is, the way Hatavas Dambris is done, Bizman is that you can't even do Mitzitza. There's nothing to be motzei. They'll either make a little scratch on the Makom HaMila and be motzei just a tiny amount of blood, or I think the Chazon Ish holds that you don't even have to be motzei, you don't even have to make a scratch. It doesn't have to be any hotzad dam bechlal, but rather, if you put pressure on that makom, if you create some kind of black and blue mark, that's also hatavas nabris. That means that there is dam created. The dam came to the surface. It doesn't come out of the body, but the Chazon Ish holds that for hatavas nabris, it doesn't have to come out of the body. Even if you want to be machmer, what are you doing? You're not really being motzi dam per se. You're just creating a scratch. So what are you going to be motzeitz? Being motzi is going to create more of a wound than you had there metchila. So it's hard to believe that you'll do mitzitza on the hatavas nabris. Okay, so first of all, the mila should be done through Yisrael. If a guy does the bris mila, there's a machlokes mechaber and arma, whether there's a requirement of doing hatavas dambris. Or should we say, there's no requirement, there's no accomplishment? That's the whole discussion. The Ramah then points out that a mumar, another very popular shaila, let's say a mumar l'chal Shabbos, let's say a non-observant Jew does the bris milah. The doctor in the hospital was Jewish, but he was non-observant. So what's his status? So the Ramah says that mumar l'chal tarakulo, or even if he's a mumar l'bris milah, let's say he doesn't have a bris. So dino ka'akam, the Ramah says, he also shouldn't be doing this bris. And according to the Ramah, if a guy does the bris milah, you need hatavas dan bris. You should need hatavas dan bris here as well. That's a big chumra. That's another shaila, very important shaila that comes up. Many assume that you should need hatavas dan bris. Rabbi Kiva Eger quotes from a Tosis in Avodah Zarah, who assumes that even a mumal chalat harakul is really kosher for milah. So then you would not need hatavas dan bris according to that shita. So machlokas aposkim, it's not so simple. It's a real shaila. It comes up. It comes up because it's very uncomfortable. A person finds out later in life that a non-Jewish pediatrician did his circumcision, so do we force him to do Hatavas Dan Bris? Even though, for Emes, it's a little uncomfortable, but it's not a major procedure. Do Hatavas Dan Bris, the Moilim who know what they're doing, they'll just do a little bit of a scratch, and it's not really that painful. They put some kind of local anesthetic on, it's not really so painful at all, from what they tell me. I mean, I don't recommend it to someone who doesn't need it, but it's not. They do this kesed. There's someone who wants to become a ger, an older person who wants to become a ger. So normally non-Jews are circumcised nowadays. So they will come. They'll come with the milan pre already done. So they just do hatafa. So I was once on a bezin of geris, and the hatafa was done right there. Wasn't that painful? I don't think the guy. It's like a prick. It's like a prick. Just like you went to the doctor when you were a child and you had a shot. So, you know, when you're the age of some of my children, if you're two or three or something like that, so then you make a whole tower out and you scream. But you know, once you get older, you don't scream with the shot. So you don't have to scream with this hatafa either. It's not so painful from what I hear. Yes.
What if the gear doesn't have a priya? He only has a new one.
Then they would have to do the priya, of course. They have to do both, right? They'd have to do, well, if they did the priya, they'll have hatafa mamela with that. But then they would have to undergo some kind of procedure. I don't think they could do that awake. Avraham Avinu did the bris milah. They say this, and there's a medrash that he did it, that he was mistar ala milah. But I think there are attacks, some poskim who assume that even by a ger, you can't use anesthetics. Well, I think most poskim would be megal for those shitas that hold that you can use anesthetics by a ger. That would be a very difficult. Difficult procedures to try to undergo. Anyway, yeah.
What if the ger had a circumcision in the hospital by from a Jewish doctor?
But that's not a milas yisrael. You didn't have it l'shem yisrael. So it's hard to believe that would count as a milah. You would then have to undergo some kind of a milah l'shem yisrael.
So the issue isn't really.
No, but to become a ger, he needs a milas yisrael. So even though the milah doesn't have to be l'shma, but he has to have some. This is a different kind of milah. Different kind of milah, so he would at least have to have hatafa l'shem yisrael. Okay. The Mechaber and Ramah also talk about Isha. Herschel mentioned this before. The Mechaber says, Akol k'sherim lamol afilu eved, Isha v'katan, etc. So the Mechaber assumes that Isha is k'sher lamol, even though the Isha is not mechuyeves, as we mentioned, she's not obligated in the mitzvah bris milah. Not for herself, obviously, and not for her child. Maybe not even the Taras Bezdin. That's not clear. That's a suffix. But be that as it may, she's Ksheira Lamu. Ksheira Lamu. I mean, certainly if she's obligated with Taras Bezdin, so then we can understand why she should be Ksheira Lamu. She is a Mechuyev Bedava. She's not completely Mufkas, not completely removed from the concept of Mila. It's unclear whether according to the other Rishonim, you gotta look in the Rishonim inside to see whether those Rishonim will hold that a woman is not Mechuyev at all, not only in the mila of her child, but even the Taras Bezdin, so maybe Takadosh Shitas would hold that she's Psulu Lamo. If she's not a Bar Chiyuva, then she really could not become a Mohan. But the Ramah quotes the Yesh Amrim, the Isha lo tamul, a woman should not do the bris mila v'chein noagin. V'chein noagin lahadir achar ish. So l'chor, the Ramah is saying, we're noag lahadir achar ish, to be choshish for this Yesh Amrim, that women should not do the bris mila. They talk about Tzipora, whole discussions back and forth, and the Sfarim, how could Tzipora do the bris? Isn't that a raya that she could do a bris mila? It's a whole discussion about this. The truth is, even before Tzipora, well, not before Tzipora, Tzipora occurred before what I'm going to say, but the Gemara Avodah Zarah quotes two different psukim as to why a guy is posel lamo. And they say the nafkamina is isha. Nafkamina between these two psokim happens to be isha. So the question is, how do we paskin in those two reasons? Lagabe goy. That's the real machlokas rishon. But then they quote, but Tzipor is the best raya that a woman is ksher lamo. How could she do the bris on his son if she's psul lamo? Discussion. We generally assume that a woman should not do a bris mila. Certainly Ashkenazim would not have a woman do a bris mila. I guess of course if there's no man available, if the husband and wife are out in Baybrick somewhere and they can't get a mile for a while. So maybe there would be a reason if the woman is a pediatrician, she knows how to do a bris. Maybe there would be something in having the woman do the bris. It's sort of a little strange. I guess you can fly somewhere where the moil will be available. But let's say you can't. Let's say for 6 months you're going to be there and there's no way that you can get out of there. So maybe it would be appropriate for the woman to do the bris. She can rely on the machaber. And even according to the Ramah, it's only a yesh omrim. So maybe there are circumstances in which perhaps we would say it's better not to wait. But certainly, by and large, we don't have women doing the bris. Yes?
Maybe this is also based on Shiluvah Shalat Kamosa, because if the person is chayiv himself, a woman wouldn't be chayiv in this mitzvah, so she would be able to do the act even as a shliach.
What do you mean? If the person, if the child is chayiv in the mitzvah?
So saying let's say the father is taking another person as a shliach.
Mm-hmm.
So the father could appoint her as a shliach, but she can't be a shliach because she's not a shliach in the mitzvah.
According to that sheet.
Yeah.
Right, you're saying if she's not mechuyevet, then we can understand why she shouldn't. Right, but this mechaber Ramah, I'm not talking about a case where there's a father, even if there's no father. If there's no father, so then what shlichas is she doing? She's not doing any shlichas for someone else. But nevertheless, according to the Ramah, there's a yeshamim that she shouldn't do the bris anyway. Okay, what's the proper time, the zman, to do the bris mila? So we know that we're supposed to do the bris mila bayom hashmini. That means bayom and not before shmini, right? Bayom hashmini yimo basar or lasa. The pasuk in this week's parasha. So there are certain times in which we can do what we call a mila shalo bizmana, not bayom hashmini. But even if we do shalo bizmana, obviously it still has to be bayom. It's never supposed to be balayla. It's always supposed to be bayom. Bayom hashmini. But there are certain circumstances in which we do the mila Shalob is mana, later than Yom HaShmini, never before. We try not to do it before. It shouldn't be done before. But can it be done later? There are two popular cases in which it can be done later. The first is quoted by the Machaber in Simen Reish Samach Beis, Siv Beis, and that is a case of Chola. Let's say the child is too sick to get the Bris Mila now. So what kind of sickness are we talking about? The Machaber actually splits this into two types of sicknesses. There are some cases of choli where the child is sick, and but he's not so sick that we would call him a chole b'chol gufo. It's not a real pikuach nefesh, but he's not healthy enough to have the bris. The most classical example of this is a baby that's jaundiced, yarok. The Gemara talks about a case of yarok, yellow. The baby is yellow. So the baby is jaundiced, that means that his liver is not working appropriately, it's not breaking down the red blood cells appropriately. So it's dangerous in the Kabbalah and the Gemara that it's dangerous to do the bris mila on such a child. The halacha is that if he's a chola and it's dangerous to do a bris on him, so you can't do the bris, let's say he gets better, so do you have to wait to do the bris? No. In such a choli, Chola ain molin asachi. Yavri says the mechaber in Siv Beis there. Mamtina lo me eshin esrape. No, that's the other case. Just a second. Avlam chola beechad me evarv gon shekav lo einav keev muat. Mamtina lo achi yavri ula achashi yavri malin asomiyad. The mechaber says that if he just has a minor ailment, so the example the mechaber gives, let's say he has a little bit of a pain. Let's say his eyes are hurting him a little bit. I'm not exactly sure how you can determine whether it's a little bit or not. If the baby's crying, he's crying. But if the doctors realize that it's a little bit, it's painful for the child, but he's not really a chola kalguf, he's not really in sakana, so then once he becomes healthy, then malin asomia, that's exactly what happens. If the bilirubin, if what indicates the number that they have, that the testing number that they have to determine what type of jaundice it is, if it's still bad or not, so if the bilirubin comes down, starts to come down, they say even if the bilirubin is high, once it starts to come down, then we know that it's no longer dangerous for the child. So then we could do the bris immediately. Some poskim are machmir that you should wait until the color of the child is completely normal, but many poskim assume that you can be mekel. I think the minig of many molim is to do the bris immediately once the bilirubin starts to come down. Once it starts to come down, it's going up and up because the liver is not fully developed, it's not really functioning properly, but once it starts to come down, then we assume that everything is okay. So then we can do the bris at that point in time. But the Mechaber says that if the child is chola kol gufo, if he really is besakana, so then we have to wait, even after he becomes better, we have to wait 7 days me'es le'es. 24/7. We gotta wait 7 days me'es le'es before we do the bris on him. So this happens. If a child is put in an incubator after he's born, he's a premature child. So depending on how premature he is, he might really be besakana. So if he's besakana, then you'd have to wait the 7 days. But there are premature babies who can have a bris on the 8th day. They're perfectly fine. At the time of the Gemara, the poskim discussed this as well, at the time of the Gemara, they thought that babies that were born in the 7th month were going to live. A ben sheva would live. A ben teisha would also live. But a ben ches, a ben shmona, if a baby were born in the 8th month, the Gemara, at the time of the Gemara, the baby did not live. Why? It's very strange. If a ben zayin can live, so why can't a ben ches live? The answer that's given is that there are certain parts of development, the heart and other things, develop during the 8th month. So apparently if the baby is born before that development starts, he's actually healthier than if he's born during that development. That's what happened at the time of the Gemara. So at the time of the Gemara, if a baby were born in the 8th month, he wouldn't live. He wouldn't be able to survive. Nowadays, medicine is different. The teva has apparently changed, or the doctors know how to deal with these situations. So we know that a baby that's born in the 8th, a baby that's born 4 weeks early or 5 weeks early, sometimes can have a bris on the 8th day. They're not sick at all. So it's a function of what the doctors feel. If the doctors feel that the baby is healthy, then there's no reason not to do the bris on time. But if he's not healthy, so then they should wait. So if he really is not healthy, it's chola kol gufo, he has a terrible fever, or he's a preemie, or etc., so then you got to wait the 7 days. But if it's just jaundice, something minor, something comparatively speaking minor, so then once he becomes better, you can do the bris immediately. Yes?
If the mila for some reason was done before the 8th day,
we'll talk about that in a moment. Okay, we'll talk about that. So this is the first example of a mila shelo bizmana. The other popular example is, let's say it's a safek yom hashmini. How could it be a safek whether it's yom hashmini? Ben hashmashos. Let's say the baby is born ben hashmashos, between shki and sezak ochavim, between sunset and then three stars coming out. So that's very popular, right? You go in, a husband and a wife will go in for, the wife is in labor, so they go into the hospital, and it's late in the afternoon. She's about to give birth, and it's late in the afternoon, so the husband has to look at the clock to see when exactly the baby was born. They always put a time there. They put a time on the medical chart, exactly when the baby was born. But sometimes their clocks are a little bit off. You gotta be careful. You gotta set your watch to the right radio station before you go into the hospital. Make sure that you have the exact time. Okay. But if the baby is born ben hashmosho, so then we're not gonna do the bris mila 8 days from the previous day. Meaning if the baby is born, let's say ben hashmosho is between Sunday and Monday. So we're not gonna do the bris on Sunday because it's a safek yom zayin. If the baby really was born, it's a suffix, yom suffix, lez. The baby is born really on Monday. You have to do the bris on Monday, the next Monday. So we'll delay it. This is a suffix, mila shlo bizmana. Right? It's not clear. Maybe Itaka doing it bizman, because maybe the baby Itaka was born on Monday. But this is a classical example of where we have to do a mila shlo bizmana, or at least a suffix, mila shlo bizmana, because we don't want to do it too early. Sam, you had something?
The 7 days of Zephyr Kogupo, and yeah. 7 days from the time it gets better.
Yes, the time it gets better. It could be the premature baby, could be in the incubator for a month.
And they decide when it's better.
The doctors say, everything is fine, you can do a bris now. We say, thank you very much, and we wait a week. That's exactly what it means. Okay. What happens if the baby was Nimo Toch Shmona? Or let's say it was Nimo Balayla. So the Chor, according to the Shagasari, there's nothing to do. So it says that the Zelba Shagasai, it's the same Pisman, right? And Taka Shagasai writes this. Shagasai says that if the baby was Nimal Toch Shmona in the hospital, there's nothing you can do. There's no Atavas numbers. What are you going to accomplish? The Arla was taken off, the Arapri was taken off. What can you accomplish? The Ramah has a famous Shita here. The Ramah in Simin Reish Samach Beis and Sif Aleph, the Ramah splits between the two. The Ramah says that if the baby was Nimal Balayla, then it needs Atavas numbers. But if it was Nimal Toch Shmona, it doesn't need Atavas numbers. So again, the Ramah is assuming along the lines of those achronim, the Ramah is assuming that Hatavas Damris will accomplish something. What does it accomplish? So maybe it allows you to fulfill this extra requirement of Mila, this concept of Hatavas Damris. But apparently, the Ramah holds that strange chiluk then. If you assume that whenever a Mila and a Priya were done improperly, so then you need Hatavas Dam Bris. So here it was improper. So if it was done improperly, so why shouldn't you need Hatavas Dam Bris if it's Nimo Toch Shmona? A little bit strange. Apparently what the Ramah is saying, actually a different pshatim in the Achronim. Some Achronim want to suggest that maybe the mitzvah of Hatavas Dam Bris actually could be done Toch Shmona. They quote psukim on this. Maybe the whole idea of Yom HaShmini is only Yimo, is only in the mitzvah of Mila. Mila, maybe Priya as well. So maybe Hatavas Dam Bris, which is derived from other psukim, maybe that can be done Toch Shmona. So that's exactly the point. If the baby is Nimo Balaila, so that's a psul in the Mila itself. So it's a psul in the Mila itself. You got to do Hatavas Dam Bris because you didn't. That's a psul in the Mila, Priya, and Hatavas Dam Bris. It's a psul in everything. If it was done Balaila, so then you have to do Hatavas Dam Bris, at least to be Yotzei, that part of the mitzvah of Mila. But if it's done Toch Shmona, it could be that Hatavas Dam Bris doesn't have to be done by Yom HaShmini. Mila and Priya have to be done by Yom HaShmini. But since Hatavas Dam Bris doesn't have to be done by Yom HaShmini, if it was done Toch Shmona, forget about it. You were Yotzei Hatavas Dam Bris already. It's not that you don't need it because there's nothing you can accomplish. No, you accomplished what you were supposed to accomplish. The Shagasai would say you don't do Hatavas Dam Bris because what are you going to accomplish anyway? Maybe what the Ramah is saying is that you did accomplish everything if it's done Toch Shmona because Hatavas Dam Bris only has to be done. Can be done Toch Shmona. If it was done by Laila, then you didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Hatavas Dam Bris, so then you should do the Hatavas Dam Bris again. So the Mila has to be done by Yom, it shouldn't be done by Laila, and it also has to be done by Yom HaShmini. We also derive from the pasuk by Yom HaShmini Yimol, by Yom HaFil B'Shabbos. That Mila is Doch HaShabbos. Doch HaShabbos. Of course, if the baby is born by Nashmoshos Friday going into Shabbos, not Docha Shabbos, because that's a suffix. That's a suffix Mila Bismana. Only a Mila Bismana is Docha Shabbos, not a Mila Shalom Bismana. Can you imagine? There's a premature baby, and the doctors tell the parents on Shabbos, the baby is healthy, so we say thank you very much. And we wait the 7 days, and we do the bris on Shabbos. Chas v'shalom. A Mila Shalom Bismana is not done on Shabbos. Only a Mila Bismana is Docha Shabbos. So if a baby is born Ben Ashmoshos, Friday going into Shabbos, then the bris has to be pushed off to Sunday. Pushed off to Sunday. And if Yom Tov falls out after Shabbos, so then the bris has to be pushed off even further, because Mila Bezmana is Docha Shabbos. Only Mila Bezmana is Docha Shabbos. Only Mila Bezmana is Docha Yom Tov. Yom Tov and Shabbos have the same status for this halacha. So then we'd have to push off the bris. So how far do we push off this bris? You can't do the bris on Shabbos. You can't do the bris on Yom Tov Rishon. Can you do the bris on Yom Tov Sheni? What do you think? What do you think? Oh. Sorry. Itak is a machlokes. That's a good point. Yeah, so we would pass it in that circumstance where it's a vaday mila shlobas mana at that point. That's a when it comes to Yom Tov Sheni, it's already a vaday mila shlobas mana, so that's not going to be doche Yom Tov Sheni. That's how we pass it in the Shulchan Aruch. It's actually machlokes Rambam Rosh, but it's not clear what the Rambam and the Rosh are talking about. Let's assume they're talking about vaday mila shlobas mana. The Shulchan Aruch passes that by vaday mila shlobas mana, it's not doche Yom Tov Sheni. But the Pesach Tshuva says that by Suffolk Mila Shalom Bezmana, Suffolk Mila Shalom Bezmana would be Docha Yom Tov Sheni. This happens left and right. What happens if the baby is, well, let's say Yom Tov is that case. Okay, we'll keep the case the same. Yom Tov is Sunday and Monday. It's a 3-day Yom Tov coming from Shabbos. But the baby is born Sunday going into Monday of the previous week. That's not a Vaday Mila Shalom Bezmana. That's a Suffolk Mila Shalom Bezmana. Bein Hashmashos of Sunday going into Monday. What's the din of a Safek Mila Shalom Bezmana? A Safek Mila Shalom Bezmana, there's a long discussion of the post, we're not going to talk about exactly what the reasons are over here, but Safek Mila Shalom Bezmana, you can understand it's more kal, right? Because it's a Safek Mitzvah Daraisa against Yom Tov Sheni, which is a din Rabbanan, a Minig maybe, a Takana Rabbanan, so you could understand why that would be Docha, perhaps. A Vada Mila Shalom Bezmana? Maybe a Vada Mila Shalom Bezmana is not going to be Docha. But a Savig Mila Shalom Bezmana, the Poskim, the Pesach Tshuva quotes Poskim, who say that you really should be Machmer for those Shitas who assume that there would be Docha Yom Tov Sheni. So this is a real Shaila. It comes up in the context that I gave to you, but it comes up even more popularly in another context. And that is the case of Yotzei Dofen. What's the Yotzei Dofen? The Yotzei Dofen is if a baby doesn't come out naturally, but it comes out of the wall, right? It means a cesarean section, comes out through surgery. So Yotzei Dofen is Machlokas Tanoim in the Gemara, quoted at the Brayta is quoted in Shabbos, Machlokas Rishonim had a Paskin. We Paskin that a Yotzei Dofen, his meal is not Docha Shabbos. His meal is not Docha Shabbos. Why is his meal not Docha Shabbos? Well, it's a suffix. It's a suffix what the status of the is a suffix whether his meal attack is Docha Shabbos. So it's a suffix. So because it's a suffix, we're not going to be Docha Shabbos. So some suggest that the case of a Yotzei Dofen on Yom Tov Sheni is a case of suffix mila shel bizmana. There's really no difference because it's not clear whether the Yotzei Dofen is supposed to be Nimo liyom ches or can he be Nimo before. Right? He can't. It's not clear that he is supposed to be Nimol on the eighth day. So every case of a Yotzei Dofen is a Safek Mila Bizmana. Or I should say a Safek Mila Shelo Bizmana. Because maybe the Yotzei Dofen doesn't have a din of Yom HaShmini. So if he doesn't have a din of Yom HaShmini, he doesn't have to be Nimol on Shmini. We should wait. So the case of Safek Mila Shelo Bizmana by Yom Tov Sheni can occur in different ways, in different contexts. It could be a suffix of Bein HaShemashos, or the case of Yotzei Dofen, a regular cesarean section. From what they tell me, I think a quarter of the babies born are born by cesarean section now because the doctors are so nervous. If there are any complications, the doctor will never want to deliver naturally because they're afraid of the legal repercussions, liability. So they'll just say, oh, you know what, let's just have a cesarean section. The reality is there are many shilas that come up. If the baby is born through cesarean section, so then its bris is not going to be docha Shabbos. But you see from here, its bris might not be docha Yom Tov Sheni either. Right? A suffix mila shelo bizmana, that's the shaila. Right? Is a suffix mila shelo bizmana docha Yom Tov Sheni? A vada mila shelo bizmana, we paskin is not docha Yom Tov Sheni. But a suffix mila shelo bizmana might be docha Yom Tov Sheni. So that's a shaila to keep in mind. Mitzvah Hashem, when you'll have children, it's important to keep in mind what day is it, how was the baby born, when was the baby born, and then we can determine if the meal is going to be Docha Shabbos or not.